Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of Scottish topics and music. I'm Andrew McDermott, your host. On this episode, part one of a profile of Sir Thomas Lipton, the successful businessman, tea baron, and yachtsman. At simplyscottish.com, you'll find an episode guide to every show we've produced, including music playlists and links to other resources on the web. Plus, you can read the Simply Scottish blog and send us an email. That's on our website, www.simplyscottish.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Get Scottish news, photos, trivia, and show updates at facebook.com/simplyscottish or twitter.com/simplyscottish. Let's start with music. Sir Harry Lauder was one of the most popular musical humorists of the early 20th century. Born in the Edinburgh suburb of Portobello, Lauder's songs were favourites in music halls across Britain and North America. He was also good friends with Thomas Lipton. Here's Lauder now, singing a favourite of our listener community on Facebook, Roman in the Gloamin'.
I've seen lots of bonny lasses on my travels wide, but my heart is center new on bonnie Kate McBride. Although I'm no a fella that would throw a word away, I'm surprised sometimes myself at all I've got to say. Roaming in the gloaming on the bonnie banks of Clyde, roaming in the gloaming with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming, roaming in the gloaming on the bonny banks of Clyde, roaming in the gloaming with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming. Gloamin' we were trippin' side by side. I kissed her twice and I asked her once if she would be my bride. She was shy and so was I, we were both the same. But I got brave and braver on the journey coming home. Roamin' in the gloamin' on the bonny banks of Clyde, roaming in the gloaming with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming, roaming in the gloaming on the bonny banks of Clyde, roaming in the gloaming with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming. Oh, I tell you, last night after strolling, we got in at 9:30. And sitting at the kitchen fire, I asked her to be mine. When she promised, I got up and I danced the heel and fling. I've just been to the jeweler's and I've bought her a bunny wee ring. Oh, Roman in the gloamin' on the bunny banks of Clyde. Roman in the gloamin' with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roamin' in the gloamin'. Roman in the gloamin' on the bunny banks of Clyde. Roman in the gloamin' with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming. Oh, I tell you, roaming in the gloaming, man, when there's nobody there but your Sally.
That was Harry Lauder singing Roman in the Gloamin' from the album Scotland Stars on 78 from Glasgow-based Lismore Recordings. For an inspiring story about rising above the odds and turning dreams into reality, we need look no further than the life of Scottish businessman Sir Thomas Lipton. In addition to hard work and a trust in the inscrutable workings of Providence, Lipton credits his success to growing up in a good home, which he called, quote, a laboratory of character, unquote, and good old-fashioned optimism. There's something buoyant and healthy in being an optimist, said Lipton in his autobiography. It is because of my optimism that I have gone through life smiling, that I am always in good humour and good fettle, that I refuse to be gloomy about a lot of trouble that will never happen, whether it's next week or next year. Lipton was born in Crown Street, Glasgow, in 1850. His parents, Thomas Sr. and Francis, were both from Ireland and had immigrated to Scotland due to the potato famine in search of a better life. After much deliberation, his parents decided to open a grocery store on the same street in which they lived. It was small but clean and well stocked with ham, butter and eggs imported from Ireland. Young Lipton assisted his parents in the running of the store. One of his jobs was transporting goods from the Irish steamer to the store. While down at the docks of the River Clyde, Lipton observed a wealth of boats and travellers and heard many stories about America in particular, with its vastness, wealth and boundless opportunity. Lipton attended St. Andrew's Parish School, but at age 12, as his parents were struggling to make ends meet with the shop, he left school in pursuit of employment. Determined to make something of himself and help his parents, Lipton sailed to New York shortly before his 15th birthday. Over several years, he held jobs at a tobacco plantation in Virginia, a rice plantation in South Carolina, a firefighter in Charleston, and an assistant at a prominent grocery store in New York City. Here, he could sense a different atmosphere than grocery stores in Scotland. As he saved up money and earned promotion at the New York grocers, his thoughts inevitably led back to the fate of his parents and their store on Crown Street. In 1870, he recrossed the Atlantic and returned to Glasgow, full of potential and eagerness. At first, his father resisted efforts to change things at the Lipton store. They were content with the meagre success their venture had brought them and didn't want to ruin it all with fanciful ideas like expansion. Lipton's mother, although cautious and frugal as her husband, believed in her son wholeheartedly and encouraged him in his pursuits. After the original store was back on track, Lipton used money he had saved to open a new store on Stopcross Street in Glasgow. Here he began to implement his business ideas. He let the store lights burn bright long after dark, attracting the attention of residents. He worked long hours, often from 6 a.m. to midnight. He began advertising his store with flyers and newspaper ads, announcing his products, ham, butter and eggs, as well as their cheap prices. He made personal deliveries to people's homes. He secured important supply contracts with city organizations. "I do not need to say that my whole heart was in my first little shop," said Lipton. So I stuck to my work all day long and far into the night. But the work was a thrill and a joy to me. I lived from my little business. On his 21st birthday, Lipton opened his second store and hired assistants to help him. He was determined to give his customers the best quality goods at the cheapest prices he could muster. To do this, he'd have to cut out the middleman and buy direct. In a few minutes, Howe Lipton expanded two stores into a grocery empire. And later, we'll hear from my dad, Andrew McDermott Sr., as he shares his memories of Lipton markets in Scotland and that drink that made Lipton famous still today, tea. Here's Scottish-Canadian musician David Francy from his 2013 album So Say We All. This is Rain.
Clouds gather and the rain falls, and it fills the well that feeds us all. And I'm loath to complain, but it's been years of hard rain, and the heart knows its own mind, and the heart sees, and the heart's blind, and the heart breaks like a window pane until it can't stop all the hard rain. Rain, 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 rain. Sings its own song, and love's here and love's gone. And is it love if you love in vain? And that's the sound of love, just a hard rain. Love writes its own wrongs and waits away and leans us on. And the sun will shine in the sky again on the other side of this hard rain. Rain.
You're listening to Simply Scottish. Lipton soon realized that in order to maximize profit to customer and business alike, he'd have to buy direct and cut out the extra expense of a middleman. He began making regular trips to Ireland, where his parents had imported their goods for years. He sent notes to all the farmers heading to market, promising cash for all the goods they could provide him. In this way, he secured as much as he needed without needing to barter with competitors at the market. Once relationships were established, goods were transferred from Irish farms to his Scottish markets on a regular basis. By the mid-1870s, Lipton owned 20 stores in Glasgow and the west of Scotland, with a new headquarters in Glasgow. Once Thomas Lipton got started, there was no stopping him. And he himself would credit his success not only to having great products at unbeatable prices, but to the power of advertising. Lipton didn't stop at traditional handbills or newspaper ads. He wanted to make people smile and laugh with his ads. And this he did, perhaps more effectively than any other businessman before him. It started with a parade of pigs, carefully selected hogs driven from market through the streets to Lipton stores, bearing a sign that said, "Lipton's Orphans," and attracting lots of attention. Lipton hired an artist to create weekly cartoons. Posted on his store windows, they would draw crowds and lots of chuckles. To drive home his great prices, he issued Lipton pound notes, ads designed to look like currency that promised customers the same amounts of ham, butter, and eggs for 15 shillings they'd pay a whole pound sterling for elsewhere. And the bold, innovative advertising didn't stop there. Lipton installed convex and concave mirrors on the walls of his markets, one that made passers-by look incredibly thin, those coming to Lipton's store, and one that made them look decidedly weighty, and labelled "Leaving Lipton's Store." Perhaps one of the most memorable schemes Lipton used to advertise his stores came in the form of giant cheeses around the Christmas holiday. Specially ordered from New York, the first involved the labor of 800 cows and was nicknamed Jumbo. Lipton took care to release all the details to his customers, including when the ship delivering the cheese would arrive. Good-natured pandemonium reigned in and around his markets. Other, even larger cheeses followed. 5-ton cheeses made from the milk of 4,000 cows. In his advertising methods, Lipton certainly gave people something to talk about, and often the added bonus of a good laugh. In the 1880s, Lipton was opening a new store every week, and by 1888, his grocery empire had grown to 300 markets across Great Britain, making him a multimillionaire by the time he was 40 years old. Up next, you'll hear from my father, Andrew McDermott Sr., as he shares his thoughts about Lipton markets and the drink that made Lipton a household name. First, here's Corinne Scott performing "Scarlet Tide" from her album A Scottish Journey.
When I recall his parting words, must I accept his fate? Or take myself far from this place? I thought I heard a black bell toll, a little bird did sing. Man has no choice when he wants everything. We'll rise above the scarlet tide that trickles down through the mountain and separates the widow from the bride. Man goes beyond his own decision, gets caught up in the mechanism of swindlers who act like kings and brokers who break everything. The dark of night was swiftly fading, close to the dawn of day. Why would I want him just to lose him again? We'll rise above the scarlet tide that trickles down through the mountain and separates the widow from the bride. We'll rise above the scarlet tide that trickles
This is Simply Scottish. We're talking with my father, Andrew McDermott Sr., a longtime co-host of Simply Scottish when the show aired as a radio show down in Texas on an NPR affiliate. We're talking with my father today about Sir Thomas Lipton and his experience of the Lipton chain of grocery stores that populated Scotland from the turn of the century through my dad's childhood and onwards.
Hello, welcome to Simply Scottish. I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I know from history about Sir Thomas Lipton. Just after the war, 1945-46, I was only 5-6 years old and not being able to understand too much at that time. The only time that I ever knew about Lipton's was the grocery store, of course, and they were very select grocery stores in these days, because most of the people that I lived around were very down-to-earth people who relied on the natural resources of our surroundings in Edinburgh. We were very close to the North Sea, so we ate a lot of fish. Our usual shopping would be to go to the bakery for all your bakery needs, bread and whatever, and the butcher and the fishmonger. Most of them is what they call in this country a mom and pop corner stores for all your needs. As I got to about 1950 and I was about 11 years old, had a lot of history, not just Scotland. I learned more world history than I ever knew existed, only in name and learning all about the Atlas. But in such a young age, you didn't quite grasp where America was, where Africa was, and various countries, not as much as they are today with the technology that you have. So we relied on these particular stores for our everyday means. But Lipton, I knew from history, and that was just part of my history learning at school. My mother used to take me up to Edinburgh, which was only a short 5 miles, but in these days the transportation wasn't quite as elaborate as it is today. We had tram cars and old buses at the time, and it was all pretty simple means. And my first introduction was to the Lipton store up in Edinburgh, which was a big experience for us as shopping because of the imports of food, wine, everything that we were not used to, that lifestyle of all the foods from different countries. This was our first introduction to these commodities and food and from other countries, France, Germany, and this was all introduced, and it took some time to absorb all the changes of our lifestyle of food and eating, and it was quite an eye-opener for to go to the store and see these products from another country.
Now, Dad, can you speak for a moment on, we know that Lipton was famous for tea. How many brands or types of tea were around during your childhood growing up in Scotland, and was Lipton one of the most popular?
Yes, it was. To give you an understanding of what we understood from products from all the different countries of the world, was through our history and knowledge of history, world history, I may add, not only just Scotland, regarding the Commonwealth. And the Commonwealth was a large, with the king and queen, and all these countries were part of the Commonwealth. And we were introduced to tea from India and all various products from all the different countries. And tea, of course, as you know, was a very natural thing for Scottish, British, and most places to drink tea. And we had a lot of tea factories around our area where I was born, and didn't think too much about it other than because of history, we learned more about where the tea came from. And Lipton always seemed to be at the top of the list and had a very good name in Scotland, a very fancy name. So it was a great experience to be able to go through that part of our life in order to have our tea. And now we think about our tea, we realize that it's not just tea leaves that come out of a tree and that's it. So it's been a great experience for me.
One of my earliest memories as a child is having tea chests to keep our belongings in storage. I remember these tea chests, and from what I understand, they would pack the loose tea, and that's how they would ship it.
Correct.
To different places. These large tea chests, about maybe three feet tall or and more.
Yes, that's right. Actually, my mother's sister's daughter, if you can follow me on that, worked in a tea factory not too far from where we lived. And that was a great introduction to the knowledge of tea. And as a young boy, I used to go down to the factory where they got the tea, boxed it, and sent it out. And I used to collect the remnants of the tea in the empty boxes, which was piled outside the factory, and I was able to succumb some of this loose tea and put it into a tin can and take it home to my mother and give her some free tea from India.
Well, Dad, thank you for sharing some insight on Thomas Lipton and tea today.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
We look forward to having you back on Simply Scottish again.
As MacArthur says, I shall return.
In another episode, we'll continue our profile of Sir Thomas Lipton with a look at his success in the tea trade, and we'll explore his efforts in one of his favourite pastimes, yachting. That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. Share your comments on this show and listen to others at simplyscottish.com. And if you enjoyed the music on the episode, enter our monthly music giveaway for a chance to win a free Scottish album of your choice, sponsored by musicscotland.com. Enter online at www.simplyscottish.com. We'll close with music from Sandy Meldrum. From his album Scottish Piano Fusion, this is Lammermuir. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for another celebration of all things Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright 2013, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.